This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. With the whole band together today, Brian Rowitz from ESPN in West Palm. Check him out, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, as well as Sirius XM every Sunday, as he is part of Pro Wrestling Nation from 9 till noon, Jonathan Hood. All right, boys, the biggest weekend of the professional wrestling calendar. Everybody knew July 12th was going to be it. The huge, the big blow-off for everything, for everybody, everywhere. Seriously, though, it's going to be a huge weekend. And there are a couple of big title bouts happening on Saturday. Saturday night's main events will feature, I guess what I'm assuming is going to be Bill Goldberg's final match. Because, well, I guess if he wins, he keeps going. And, of course, we have the AEW World Championship being defended by Jon Moxley against Hangman Adam Page down in Dallas, Texas, part of All In. So the question is, who has a better chance of actually winning? Mox or Goldberg?
Boy, that is a tough one out of the box. That's a tough one. So let's do reasonable deduction. Goldberg winning the championship is actually too small of a venue, too small of a place for him to win because it's Saturday night's main event. I can see this happening on Netflix or PLE, but Saturday night's main event, as I know it's crazy to say because the three of us grew up on network TV, but NBC too small for a Goldberg to win the championship.
It is network television. Grandma's turning on the TV. NBC's on right now. Like she's going to see Bill Goldberg.
That's the problem. Right there. Too old for Goldberg to win the championship on NBC.
So that's Grandma's turning on Bill Goldberg.
Yes. She's confused by what's on the television, but it's there because she didn't turn off NBC.
Grandma believes it's 1985. That's the problem. And so too small for Goldberg to win.
Goldberg still wrestles like it's 1985. So
true.
So we got to go to the other side, gentlemen. And we have to see Jon Moxley. You want to sink your company? Let Mox retain and just see what happens. People are flying in to Dallas to be able to see this. Definitely the people in the Metroplex, but also people are flying in to see this, Brian. So I'm just telling you, like, if I had to choose, I think it's Moxley retains. And I'm holding my nose when I say that.
So I could see a world, and I could make a case for both sides, where both those men win Saturday, but then lose the title within minutes of their match being ended. Whether it's a Money in the Bank or now Casino Gauntlet's a thing at All In, I could see that. Maybe Mox wins, Darby wins Casino, and then Darby's the world champion in the night. I still am not ready to say 0%.
Why are you still pushing Darby Allin as world champion?
Because
why are we doing
path.
This?
That's the
Why are we still doing this? I don't understand your obsession. Like most other obsessions, Hood, like I feel I understand. Like sure. Darby Allin. Literally hasn't been around in 6 months, hasn't been seen on AEW television, and he's fantasy booking Darby to be the world champion at the end of All In on Saturday.
They gave us that
guy. That's because Sami Zayn's out of the title picture, so now he's just glomming on to that guy. That's why. He's moved on from Sami. That's why. Even though the man told you in an interview, like, I don't care about the championship.
Liar.
You saw this.
Put the world title on Sami. But, like, I don't know. Like, that's the path. When this awful storyline started, and Death Riders has gotten a little bit better recently, Darby was the path. Like, yes, everyone's into Hangman right now. But Darby is the future, I think, of the company. Even though I saw an interview today where he said, he said he doesn't need the world title. I forget who that interview was with. But he's like, I don't need that. He said he told Tony, I don't need a world title. But, you know, there's that.
No, but again, Darby's great for when he shows up, but I don't know, call me old-fashioned. I like it when my world champion, especially the one that's going to be, you know, ending the reign of terror of Jon Moxley is, you know, around and not doing death-defying things. And again, good for Darby Allin. Like, I don't want to make this seem like I'm ripping on Darby because if his employer wants to give him the freedom to go climb Mount Everest and that's something he wants to do, good on you, man. Like, that's great on you. I just then don't want you to be my world champ.
The company's flag on top of Everest. That is a company guy through and through. He climbed Everest to plant their flag, literally.
Yeah, now, I mean, how long's he been back? Can he show up to
work? I don't know how that works.
Someone should plant their flag for AEW in that company. Somebody should. God, everyone's talking about WWE this and Triple H that, like you're MJF, right? All these quotes about WWE, someone should plant the flag and represent the company.
How long do those flags actually stay at the top of Everest before they're like ripped up from the snow and stuff?
Do you think we watch National Geographic? Do you think we know? What is wrong with you?
You guys are in the Midwest. That's the same as the top of Everest in terms of weather, right? What do I know?
Florida man. Tell us about Mount Everest. Florida man.
Felt unnecessary. I lashed out about Darby, and now he's lashing out to us. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you got lumped in on that. I think that was more directed for me.
I answered Mox to sum up the question. Mox, more likely.
It has to be John Moxley because, like, they finally, like, Goldberg finally bothered to show up. Like, this has been, to me, just the weirdest build for someone's retirement match ever. Like, this is supposed to be his last match, potentially. It didn't really get mentioned. Like, it got mentioned almost as an aside, I think, the first time we saw Goldberg show up, just because the long sleeve t-shirt he's wearing said Goldberg's last ride. Like, I think that's the only reason it kind of got, I don't even know if Michael Cole said anything. I think they just like put it out on social media, like, oh, this could be Goldberg's last match if he loses. And the whole build has been weird. I wasn't even sure if he was going to show up, and he did on Monday and got physical with Gunther. But like, he's barely been around for his own build for the final match of his career. Like, there's no way this man can win. Plus, and I guess at least he looked better this time around. The first time he came out, the man was walking with a limp. Like, the first time he, like, limped his way to the ring. Like, you can't put if you want us to take Gunther serious at all going forward, you can't have the 58-year-old with a limp take him out. Mox, while I think it would be a very bad decision, you at least can – you can see a line to that decision. Like, again, bad decision, but there's – like, there's no way Triple H in – his right mind, like, if Triple H puts Goldberg over on Saturday night's main event, like, everything should be taken away from him. Like, he should lose all creative control.
What if he
wins
and then Seth cashes in, though?
But again, I don't do that on NBC.
Sure.
Yeah. I do that. I did it on Netflix. Like, you do that on your PLE. That's when you do that. I joked, and it's tongue in cheek, but it is too small for something big to happen. We've seen Saturday Night's main event. It's just happen. It's just all it is just an extra a promotional vehicle for WWE.
It's an exhibition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like an exhibition game. I mean, we talked about it in terms of the first couple go arounds here with Saturday Night's main event. They're house shows.
Yeah,
these are house shows, and I understand that they, you know, every once in a while they did like a U.S. title change at a house show, you know, back in the day. But like, no, this is Goldberg's not going over
they
on NBC. This is going
Remember
to be
the first
final
one of this run. We did a post show. Like, I think it was Cody KO in the main event. We're like, Saturday night's main event. This is a big deal. Yeah. We got to be live as soon as this ends. We're like, what are we doing? There's not much to talk about. I think we've learned our lesson from that.
We took care of the fans, our listeners, and our viewers. That's fine. We did the one time. Then we learned. Like, okay. We took care of it. Like, okay. It was because it's nostalgia. We all get swept up in nostalgia. I get that. Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I got no problem with it.
Can you imagine Jesse the Body being on commentary and Goldberg going over? I mean, that like, to me, that would be the only reason to do it. Just to see what Jesse the Body Ventura does while he's on commentary and a 58-year-old goes over as the world champ. That's the only reason I would even consider it.
He's not produced, so he could say anything. Could you imagine?
Imagine
what he would say. This is ridiculous, Michael Cole. This is ridiculous. If he's the champion, then I could be the champion. Like, could you moving his head around indignantly? Just, could you imagine Jesse Ventura?
That would be entertaining.
My prediction is that you get the intros. That's one segment. And the second segment, that'll be all. This will be 5 minutes or less.
It has to be.
There's no way around that.
Like, I mean, Goldberg couldn't go 10 minutes in his heyday.
I can't go any longer. Can't he go any longer? He barely got through the your next thing to Gunther. Barely got through it.
Yeah.
I mean, so what? He spears? Does he do a jackhammer, then a kick out, and then he gets choked out?
I love that finish. That's it. They should be hiring you up there in Stanford. That's it. Let him get his shit in.
That's all.
But then that was an awesome finish in 99, but it's 2025. Kick out one. At one. Well, I mean, it's all for Goldberg. This is it.
He's He's 58. Yeah, I'm fine with that. You can't tell me the jackhammer can't have the same effect right now than it did 26 years ago.
Gunther's a big guy. Are we 100% confident he's going to get him all the way up?
Oh, no. He did a great job in Saudi with Undertaker. He almost killed him. Otherwise, it was fine.
Besides that, okay.
And that was five years ago at this point?
Yeah. So whatever he's got, I think Spear probably is better for him. Jackhammer would be a little difficult, but I just think that it should be a one count. And then Gunther does what he does. I told you guys, he's like Jokic. He gives you on a 13-0 run, and then all of a sudden, it's over.
Uh-huh.
He has a flurry of activity, sleeper, gone. You're done.
I'm good with that.
So two segments out of many for Saturday Night's Main Event, and that's it. This is all the spectacle, just so people can say, well, I wonder what if. Otherwise, Saturday Night's Main Event isn't much coming up on Saturday.
Mike, and we already had the nostalgic Goldberg run back 8 years ago, back in 2017. Like, we already had the nostalgic Goldberg championship run. So that doesn't need to be repeated. The more important question for Mox is how many people are helping Hangman? Like, how many people are going to have to interfere on behalf of Hangman to help him go over on Saturday afternoon?
It's going to be a lot, but the one thing I'll say is that, like, Tony, who is very online, he sees the way everyone's reacting to the Bloodline finishes and, like, the way we saw it at the last pay-per-view. Does that make him somehow steer away from that? Because we're going to see, like, 20 guys out there, I feel like, at this rate.
It has to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a no-DQ right. Texas death match. Like, the only way to actually – because if you don't do it at this point – and I understand – a lot of people are upset by, like, the Bloodline types of finishes. But to me, for John Cena, that doesn't make as much sense because John Cena is right. on his own. Like, John Moxley has the Death Riders. It would make less sense storyline-wise if the Death Riders just suddenly right. did not get involved, you know? Or you have to do something where the ops cut them off backstage, right? Like, there still have to be shenanigans. Maybe it doesn't make it all the way to the ring, but you have to have an explanation as to, well, why is Shayna Baszler, or not Shayna Baszler, why is Marina Shafir not coming down to help out, right? Like, where's Claudio? How come, you know, these guys have been constantly around for the entire title reign of Mox, so you have to have some sort of reason for them not being.
This is just like our conversation we had about the Bloodline guys, about how can Cody win the championship if he doesn't have friends? And so he had to have friends, and it's all these moving parts in order for Cody to win the championship. Same thing here with Hangman Page. At least we know that he's got the ops and others that will help. I'm sure Swerve will be involved. I'm sure that an Ospreay is going to be involved. It's going to be crazy and wild. That's why I don't even think that's going to be the best match in the card. I just think there's going to be so many moving parts that somehow Hangman Page wins. But I think this is one of those things where it's like Team AEW is finally standing up, and they hold back the faction of Moxley just enough so Moxley can lose. And I just think that I just know the pomp and circumstance after that is going to be like, oh, my God, he finally has a championship. It's the first time we see the title since October, the actual championship. So I think that's what we're going to see on Saturday.
Do we, and I know we've already seen the big return on Honor Club for those that have subscribed, Hood, do we see a Bryan Danielson return on Saturday afternoon?
Well, he should be in the ring for the celebration.
So just that you don't see him, like, do a run-in and part of that crew?
I mean, what, one drop kick? Like a psycho knee, is that what they call it?
I think that's what he did on the Honor Club. Him and Shane Taylor, you know, the big blow-off storyline there.
Sure. Whatever it takes. Because you're going to need a lot of people. Because now it's more than the Death Riders. There's other friends. That means that the Bucks are involved too.
Yeah.
So it may be Don Callis' family. Well, it's going to be a whole bunch of people trying to help. So it's heels against babyfaces clearly defined. And whoever the last babyface is standing can help Hangman Page win this Texas Death Match. It's going to be it's going to be a lot of blood. It's going to be a lot of fall-to-roll craziness. But
just my final question, does Mox walk to the ring bleeding?
You should.
Yeah, why not? Get out of the way.
Texas Death Match. And so, by the way, just so I'm clear, the rules of the Texas Death Match for this one is what?
There are no rules.
Because there's different Texas Death Matches. You know, Texas Death, actually, historically, the Texas Death Match is last man standing.
Last man standing. And I believe this is just no rules, and other than pin submission in the ring.
We have something on GKW underscore wrestling of Dory Funk in Championship Wrestling from Florida, by the way. There you go. There you go, Brian.
Look at that.
From CWF there with Barbara Clary. Let me explain to you the rules of the Texas Death Match. He goes like 4 minutes of explaining what Texas Death is. I'm like, I don't think AEW is doing any of these things.
Nah,
I don't think they are. So it's just craziness. Texas Death means all over the notice qualification, whatever, right?
I mean, okay. We saw needles the last time, mm-hmm. So you got to top that.
Okay. So that,
at least they teased the bags on Wednesday.
I cannot wait for the finish of this so we can move on. We've talked so much about this whole Death Riders thing. Enough.
Uh-huh.
We're done with it as a show.
Agreed.
We've got a lot of other things to dive into this weekend. We call it the three count here on GKW. What's number one this week?
Dave mentioned the amount of wrestling we will have this weekend. ROH Friday, All In, NXT, Saturday Night Main Event Saturday, Evolution Sunday. When it's all said and done, we're talking about it next week. Who's going to be the star of the weekend?
Bandido.
Don't hate that.
You hope not, right?
Did you see the way he planted our friend Kyle Fletcher last night?
Ooh, doctor. He belongs now. You can see, right? He's in matches where it's like, yeah, you can do that to me. Yeah, I know you're in ROH, but he belongs now in AEW.
Yeah, yep. He certainly does.
I still think it's going to be, because it's the main event, because it's like, to me, Hangman is still going to be the biggest one walking away from the weekend. I think that's what we're talking about. He's the new AEW world champion. And I think he ends up being the star, despite all the other interference and other people helping him out. I think he's probably also going to do something crazy that's going to put a stamp on what that Texas Death Match is. I think I lean towards Hangman.
Gunther for actually retiring Goldberg.
So I mean, you joke, but like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I understand that makes him the star of the Heart Hunt.
Wait a minute,
but like,
but I do feel like if Gunther gets something out of that match, like that's kudos to him.
They trust him a lot.
Yeah,
and that's why he's in that spot again. Like you say, what you want about you know, what's happening with the world championship situation or Seth Rollins, they trust Gunther. They see star. They see difference maker. This is why he's in this position.
Yeah.
To retire Goldberg. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see how that looks. For me, and we saw it open the show last night, I think Toni Storm, we've seen when she's in these big time spots and her and Mercedes, any other show is probably the main event, but you can't now because of the Mox and Hangman stuff. I think she shines to a different level, continues to elevate that character where we're like, yeah, Toni Storm, you could build a company around her.
So win or lose, you feel that way?
Yeah.
Win or lose. Okay.
Yeah, because I don't know who's winning that match. I honestly have no idea who's actually going over,
right.
Which is fantastic. Like, it's, again, part of the fun build for that. But, yeah, I have zero idea. If Toni Storm lost and took some time off, would anybody be shocked? Because she's earned that at this point, if she doesn't have that AEW World Championship. Because I thought that's what was going to happen when she lost it previously, but then she just came back as
rookie.
Herself.
Like, that was unbelievable in that part.
That's so awesome. Just thought that was really awesome. Yeah.
Like, introducing herself to everyone backstage? Like, it was so well done.
You know, it's funny with this question. There's so many answers with AEW wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Because if we go to Saturday Night's Main Event, guys, you know, I do tongue-in-cheek with Gunther because he could be the guy in history that actually ends Goldberg just done. But then you look at the AEW card, and that could be anybody. There's a lot of matches, and there's a lot of star power. I mean, we haven't gone into Omega and Okada just yet on the show, but I mean, that could be the end of this rivalry. This could be one of maybe a few more matches between those two, but those two could steal the show and someone could be the star there. Maybe this is the last of Omega giving you the 5-star match and that Okada actually for once turns up the heat and actually wrestles and gives you a quality match. He has just had it in neutral. My God, it is taking the AEW money.
Right.
He is just half speed the whole time. Maybe he steps it up here in this match. He has to.
So what the hell are they fighting for now?
The unified, not unified title. So they're calling it the unification match, but Tony has said there will be still two titles and potentially a third one at the end of this.
Well, I know there's a third one. They showed us to it. They showed the third one on the damn television. I assumed that one was that two was becoming one.
That's usually
one.
What you would assume, unification. You're taking one and one, you're putting together. But apparently there's going to be three. There will be a Continental title for the Continental Classic at the end of the year. And here we are. So still sort of more titles, but less titles.
Makes no sense.
Well, why can't you just do a Continental Classic and the winner of the Continental Classic gets a shot at the Unified Champ?
Or something. Call it a day.
Do you have a pencil right there, Gabe Neitzel? I think you have a pencil, like the bookers do. And of course, the key to the pencil is the eraser, of course. where if you want to erase it, what you just said there. But no, I mean, what we're doing is common sense booking. But yet, I think these bookers, these promoters think that we want more championships. I think it just comes, and I think it's a reflection of society where everybody has to have a championship. Right?
Yeah,
like the kids.
Baffling.
Kids, everybody's got to have a win a championship, right? So this is where we are in wrestling. So I'll give you someone from the outside. And I know that this match is lost in the sauce, but what if Kyle Fletcher takes a step, wins the TNT championship, and could be on the list?
I was going to give you that as an outside also because, you know, we talk a lot. He's been on this show a lot. He's essentially the fourth co-host of this show. But if we look back and it is his first individual title and the ascent he's taken over even the last year, like, that is a star in this company. I would even say that match, we know it could be good, could be a squash. Just get the gold on Kyle Fletcher and let's see what he does.
So it seems like, for the first time ever, an AEW pay-per-view is actually on a time crunch.
Yeah.
Like, they're actually, you know, because they want to be done by the time Saturday night's main event starts. It seems like they want to be. So, again, as of right now, they have 8 matches on the card, including the Casino Gauntlets. And, like, you're not going to be able to go as long as you want for all of it. I don't know if that's a corner I would want to cut, though, because I think Adam Cole versus, like, that's got steal the show potential.
You could do the rematch on a Collision and let them go a half hour there. Like, where else are you cutting time on this show?
You know what? Can I just say that AEW should just take their time? You know, look, they did a WWE a solid. Oh, we want to have our show at 7 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you guys are an Instagram event? Okay, we'll move it to an afternoon show. And then WWE doubled down and says, oh, no, that's not good enough. We're just going to put our Great American Bash. We'll put our show against you. And so, you know what? You don't rush off the air. You don't rush off the – you know what? If people want to see Saturday Night's Main Event, they can go watch it. But you got to do what you have to do as a business. They tried to bend over backwards for WWE. It's like, oh, if you got Saturday Night's Main Event, that's okay. We'll make this an afternoon show. And they still are effing around.
Right.
So you know what? You go off the air when you want to go off the air. That's fine. Because you know what? You could DVR a Saturday Night's Main Event. And guess what? You'll be disappointed. After you watch it, you're going to be like, oh, this is going to be a banger. Not really.
No.
Yeah, you can say, oh, Great American Bash. Yeah. Have you seen that card?
Yeah. I wrote down a lot of matches for the weekend. I did not write down any from Great American Bash.
Wait till we get to Evolution on Sunday. We got to box them in on Sunday too. Guess what? As we record this, not sold out at center stage.
No.
Not sold out. And that's a
And also Beyonce in town. They missed that little nugget.
Oops.
Oops.
By the way, if Vince was still running things, Goldberg would be going out first on Saturday night's main event.
Yeah.
Which is smart.
Especially if All In is still going, like getting people to turn the channel.
But this becomes a that'll put butts in seats, Mick Foley situation, right? Goldberg's on the TV, yeah, but I get a chance to see a change of the AEW championship. I see Hangman Page finally getting to the mountaintop again and beating Jon Moxley. What do you choose?
Right.
What would you choose at 7 o'clock Central? Gabe? I mean, Goldberg, which you could DVR and watch whenever you want to watch, or finally seeing that title come out of the briefcase?
Seeing that title come out of the briefcase. Because you know they're going to, like... And there's going to be an extra second of anticipation because they're going to like fumble with the key. They're not going to be able to open it. Like there's going to be some shenanigans there that are going to be fun as well.
I mean, we talk about how like obvious work sometimes in wrestling, and Hangman winning on Saturday is the obvious. You put the belt on him. How catastrophic could it be if Hangman eats a pin on Saturday night and Mox is still the champ?
brother, I'm just telling you, the company might as well close.
Wow.
Because well, here's why. Because now you, the fan feels like, I cannot wait for this title to change. I can't, and it doesn't happen. Well, here's the thing. Ospreay's part of a tag team in which they're going to lose on Saturday, by the way, him and Swerve, because they're going to push this down to 2026 when Ospreay is the champion, which is fine. I can't wait another 12 months for Ospreay to be champion. So if it's not Hangman, then who? See, that's what I mean. So that's why the title has to get off of him. It has to. If Swerve and Ospreay are not going to vie for the championship in a year, then we've already seen Samoa Joe. We've already seen, like, so who's next?
Joe is still so over, though, and I love it.
Yeah.
I like, thought
every time
apart.
Joe comes out.
Did I dream that? That, like, the Trios titles, which they have not defended since they won, I thought they were defending those. But I guess not.
I don't see this. No, I do not believe that.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, but maybe I made that up in my head. You realize they've not defended those titles once since that big win on the Dynamites.
Probably just not enough talent to defend them. That's probably the problem. Just not enough tag teams, you know.
Yeah.
200-person roster. They don't have time. They don't have the room to be able to get that done, the ops.
I mean, there's and they don't have enough factions, really. There's not enough factions that have three wrestlers that can challenge. Is really
shucks.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's the biggest issue.
I mean, you got the Don Callis family. You got this new thing with with so many others that can get this done.
Oh, did you not see the Don Callis family is busy on Zero Hour? A member of the Don Callis family will be taking on Mr. Costco himself, AJ Big Boom.
And hopefully people get there early so they won't be bitching about missing the first match in Zero. And by the way, can you call it Zero Hour when you got 2 hour pregame?
No. Okay. No.
Zero hours. Plural.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What do we got at number two this week, Brian?
All right. We mentioned Evolution. Apparently some talent not too happy about the build to it. Does seem sort of thrown together. But when it comes Sunday night in Atlanta, what should main event Evolution 2?
To me, this is easy. It should be Io and Rhea Ripley. Like, Rhea Ripley is your most over star. She's the biggest one you have on the card. And her and Io have been fantastic every time they've gotten in the ring together. I think they've been great. It's probably going to be the match of the night, and it should be the main event. Like, because you either main event that or you main event Trish Stratus, right? Tiffy versus Trish.
The other one I would throw out is the IC title. We got story there.
I wrote down Stratton and Stratus as the women's championship main event. And I think it just shows you that there's some really talented women on the card. But this shows you how haphazardly this card was put together. This is a shitty build.
Yeah.
It was. It just like, because there's nothing like, of course we like Io Sky. And of course we are like some of the women that's going to be on this card. But, you know, either Stratton and Stratus are going to be the start or the end of this card, I think. Either beginning or the end, and I'm not sure which one. But I don't like the build of any of it. And it doesn't, just because Liv Morgan got hurt, doesn't mean that
I was about to say, build. was Liv Morgan literally that important to this whole thing?
She was going to be in every match, apparently. Like, they just say, oh, Liv's not there. We're done. We'll try again in 7 years. Like, it makes no sense.
Well, because, I mean, obviously she was going to have something, and I don't know if it was going to eventually involve both the Bella Twins.
That's why I assumed that it would be Liv and Raquel versus the Bellas.
So when Liv gets hurt and you can't do – now they're just throwing Nikki into the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Like, that feels – like, you're bringing her back. Like, this was a huge deal, her coming back. Now she's in the Battle Royal? Like, that's the best we could do?
Yeah. Do they realize they have a match? It's sort of like a Battle Royal where you bring people back for surprise appearances. Like, they sort of already do that, usually January, February-ish. Did they forget that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they did. But we should not turn a blind eye to that, like you mentioned, the Intercontinental Championship matchup. I don't know. Some people was shitting on it. I did not. I like Lyra much better on the mic. Becky Lynch is doing her own thing. You know why I like Becky? Because her style is so on the mic that she doesn't get what chance. She just keeps talking in a way where she's just kind of – the way she speaks, leans against the ropes, says things. Just like – it's very – and then Bayley, great promo on Monday night too. So I liked it, these three. This probably will be the main event. I think that could be a good. I think there's a lot of heat there with Lyra and Becky, but
what does that say about your world championships?
Right.
That you're going to main event with the with the still relatively new women's IC title, just because. And look, because Becky's one of the biggest stars that they have. She's a Hall of Famer. Bayley's a Hall of Famer. Like, I get it, right? Like, when those two are involved, like, people pay attention. But you've got two world championships, one featuring Rhea Ripley. How are those not going in the main?
Because the story with Io and Rhea is, Io, you can pick your opponent. Okay, I pick you, Rhea. End story.
No story. That's bad build.
Like, that even helps. The fact that we're getting Jade and Naomi, there's a story there. This even feels out of place, where it's like, oh, yeah, we got to pay this off. Like, you guys go out there then.
I mean, honestly, that was part of what I liked about Becky's promo, the way she started. Like, wait, they get to choose their opponent, the world champion? Why do I get to choose my opponent? I gotta go up in a triple threat match? Right. What kind of BS is this?
Thank God. Thank you for mentioning that. Brian, it made no sense for Io Sky to be able to be in that situation. So if you are Rhea Ripley, you challenge Io Sky. Io Sky challenged Rhea Ripley, which made no sense.
Correct.
To start off Monday Night Raw. Like, what the hell is this?
Because they forgot about this pay-per-view. Like, oh, we got to throw something out there. Like, Io, you figure it out.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up, because I thought that was odd too.
Yeah.
There's a story. Hold on. Go ahead. Speak among yourselves. There's something about Trish Stratus. That I gotta
together mention. At one point. There's your story. Her and Tiffy team together, and they look similar. Story. Like, it's just...
I interviewed Raquel Rodriguez for Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7. I'm looking at a paper so I can know what the name of the channel is now. over here. But I interviewed it's a hell of a thing, man. It's been called Busted Open Forever, but I'm looking at this page here. Yeah, here it is, right here. I got it right here.
There we go.
So I can remember. Yeah. So I wrote it down so I can remember. I interviewed Raquel Rodriguez. Great interview, by the way. Very good interview. I didn't know what to expect there. She started off in character and it's like, okay. Yeah. But then she just kind of settled in nicely because, you know, I'm pretty good at this.
Yep.
And she said she was into Lynch, Bayley, and Lyra. She said that's going to be her favorite match. She's part of that four-way tag team championship thing on the women's side, but she looks forward to the Intercontinental Championship.
I also point out, like, it's probably the Battle Royal, but again, no big spot for Chelsea Green.
Healthy enough to wrestle, right? Healthy enough to be in there.
Yeah. Even about like their prize toy, Stephanie and Julia, like, they're just going to be thrown in this Battle Royal also. Like, you have all this talent to work with. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
The NXT women's title will be defended on Evolution 2, not a part of the NXT PLE the day prior. Because why would it be?
Yeah.
Because you needed more matches. Because again, they just decided that they wanted to do this weekend to try to go up against All In. And like, again, this is exactly what WWE gets. This is what they deserve 100%. Because they decided that they wanted to try to counter program everything that AEW is doing. Oh, they're doing a big weekend down there in Dallas. Oh, we're going to do a big one in Atlanta. Beyonce's playing. Oh, crap.
So here's a story, guys. I had to look it up because I thought I was seeing things. And I feel like, is this accurate? It's on her Twitter, actually. Trish Stratus says that she's competing in her first championship match in 18 years.
Wow.
Has WWE TV talked about this or no? I don't think they have.
I don't think so.
So she's competing for the Women's World Championship.
Yeah.
A championship for the first time in 18 years. When she came back before, she was tag team champion, or was she? What happened in Toronto?
Yes. Yeah, they were tag team champs.
Remember her and did her and Lita win it, or her and someone won it? Someone got hurt.
Becky,
that's right.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, it says here like this is the first time she's competing for a singles title in 18 years. There's a story.
Yeah, that would work.
She'll lose, but there's a story.
Evolution, by the way, at last count, set up for 6,600. They're about 4,800.
You get what you deserve. Atlanta, yeah. Atlanta's a sketchy market, man. They're a little. It's sometimes it's hit or miss. It's one of the hit or miss markets in the South.
if you, but if you, like, to me, it's no, it's not hit or miss. If you put in the effort and put something together for Atlanta to get it, they'll get behind it.
Yeah.
You throw something together haphazard there, they'll be like, eh.
And that's the worst part. They're going to point to it and be like, oh, well, we can't do another all-women's pay-per-view. Look at the numbers. It's like, you didn't put it together. Like, Beyonce's there. I will point out it is more than the Real American Freestyle show. You know, that's not selling as well. 457 tickets at last check.
In Cleveland, right? Is that Wolstein Center?
No, that is at Daytona Beach.
Oh, wait a minute. They're starting in Cleveland first, and then they're – wait, where
are they? They're going to Daytona. Okay, yes, Cleveland first, August 30th, 457 tickets. They will be in Daytona, though.
Wait a minute. Is that why you were in Daytona? Were you covering the press conference?
I was scouting. I was getting ready for show two of Real American Freestyle. Yep, 457. Not 1,000. There's no zeros on the end of that.
You are a maniac. You know that this is going to fail. And you went down there anyway, to Daytona.
Yeah, very interesting town, Daytona.
Daytona is a good beach town. Yeah. I was just there. And I was underwhelmed by the building that Hogan turned heel. Very underwhelmed. You would not like it as a broadcast, as a play-by-play guy, Gabe. You'd say, where's the Wi-Fi? You'd be looking for Wi-Fi. I had a lot of Wi-Fi problems there trying to do a basketball game in that building. So that's why you went to Daytona.
Yep, I'm doing advanced scouting for old Bischoff.
I'm back. Better than ever.
What do we got at number three this week?
All right, let's do a little bit of a draft to throw this out here. We're going to pick the three matches that we think will steal the show this week, and we'll all pick three. Gabe, you can go first. The match that will steal the show this weekend among all of the shows that we will see Friday through Sunday.
Okay, so if I get the first pick, I'm taking Okada and Omega.
Okay.
I'm taking Okada and Omega first.
I will take Paige Moxley.
Ooh, I'm going to go the tag match on All In. Swerve Ospreay versus the Bucks. Let's go back around. Back to Gabe.
Okay.
We'll go back. Okay, back to the top. Well, then I'm going to go with our guy. I'm going to say I'm going to take Fletcher and Adam Cole, baby.
All right.
Value pick, Tony Storm and Monet. And by the way, that could steal the whole show.
Damn it.
I might steal yours here, Hood. Athena and Thunder Rosa.
All right, go ahead.
Friday night, maybe a chant for Athena for more people to actually see her than the 7 that subscribe to Honor Club.
See, this guy's sneaky. He'll travel to Dallas just for Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, and then go home.
Exactly. He wants nothing to do. He wants nothing to do with All In. No, Supercard of Honor is his jam.
He's not telling us, but I could see him do that and see if there's some indie cards. I'm sure some indie cards in Metroplex. And
GCW is running Friday night. Don't worry.
See,
he already knows. He knows the whole damn schedule.
Unbelievable.
You're onto him, Hood.
See,
you're absolutely onto him.
All right, one more game.
I'll take the women's IC match from Evolution.
Okay.
Sky Ripley.
That's a good one. I'll end it with. Ooh, I'm torn. I'm men's casino. I'm gonna go Bandido and Takeshita. I'm gonna go back to ROH.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Bandido and Takeshita. That's gonna be a good one.
I mean, I know part of the reason is that we have Brian Rowitz on this program, but not like nobody even considered taking anything from Saturday Night's main event.
No,
I don't think it crossed anyone's mind.
Well, could you please tell me is the card complete?
So all we have announced, Gunther, Goldberg, Rollins, LA Knight, Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton.
Announced earlier today, Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso.
Wow.
For the U.S. title.
You see why Saturday Night's main event's not special? You see that? Those are Raw and SmackDown matches.
Jimmy Uso challenging for a singles title?
See, that's why, again... You don't have anything unique or new or guys that are men or women that are underneath that need some time. They're just filling the bill. And I'm not saying that those matches are going to be bad. It's nothing against the wrestlers. I'm just saying that it's just kind of like, well, NBC needs a card. They need to fill out 2 hours in the summer. Here you go.
But it is so easily skippable. Like if you watch All In and you get your wrestling fix and it's 5 hours and you're enjoying all of it, it is very easy to be like, I don't need to watch anymore. Because, like, you don't need to spend 7 to 8 hours on the couch like an NFL Sunday. You can just be like, All In, I'm satisfied.
Right. Like, but you could tell me, plus CM Punk has not been on TV, you know, special sit down interview with CM Punk or something, right? Cody Rhodes, something.
Like, they have 4 hours, and until this last week, it was 5 hours of television. Like, they knew this date was coming to randomly announce Solo Sikoa versus Jimmy Uso on a Thursday. You don't have shows on Thursday.
Where did they announce that?
Social media, on Twitter.
Where?
Breaking. GM at Nick Aldis announces Solo Sikoa will defend the U.S. title against Jimmy Uso at hashtag SNME. And I don't even know where Aldis is in this video. There's just a bunch of, like, there's just a giant bush behind him. Like, so he's outside somewhere. Like, how do you not announce this on television? How is this not a part of Monday night or the week before? I understand you're on the 4th of July and you taped that. But, like, how are you settling this card the Thursday before, not on television, and you're expecting me to care?
Yeah, I don't know.
None of us choose anything from NXT.
No.
That's interesting. See, if we were going to go, you know, a deep dive of the draft, I was going to give you Ethan Page and Ricky Saints.
But those guys wrestle on every single NXT PLE. Like, have they faced anyone else?
No. No, but this is false count anywhere for the North American title.
I saw
American
them in, where was I for Mania? I saw them in Vegas. I saw them, like, on other shit. Like, it's every PLE. It's those two.
Do they only trust him as the two AEW guys? Just go do your thing, guys.
You know, guys, this is where Triple H and one of these shows, let's get through this weekend of great wrestling. But when we have one of these non-pay-per-view weeks, we need to talk about and really break down Triple H as a booker, as a topic. And we can go as long as we want. Because let me just tell you something. You know you are in trouble when you have all these shows taking on AEW. Vince wouldn't care about All In. He would just care about his business. Whatever you think of Vince McMahon as a booker, and there was a lot of repetition, there's a lot of things that we didn't like. But the point is, though, is like, this is not WWF against NWA in the era of the wrestling war in 87, 88. This is AEW's not going away just because you put the Great American Bash or put Evolution or whatever shows against it. AEW has its own streaming deal. They've got their TV deal locked in. They're going to be making over $2 million with this, even though they got 20,000 people in this global life. So they're not going anywhere. And I just feel like Triple H is floundering right now. Outside the bloodline, there is no second act. There is no second act. So the way he looks at it is, well, I can't beat AEW financially. I can't get them off the air. So I'm just going to put shows against AEW and see what happens. Can I just tell you, at some point, the fan is going to say, man, McDonald's has been good for a long time, but boy, they got a special at Wendy's. I love a good Frosty. I mean, seriously, and people will start sampling the Frosty more. That's what we really need to talk about this, because you don't have to do that. You don't have to split the audience this way. Why can't AEW have their day? AEW moved aside, and you still think that you're going to get over on AEW by putting bullshit on against them? Come on, man. They're still going to make their money, Gabe. They're not going anywhere.
The only thing they actually care about is that there's another company over there hiking up the prices of their talent. I think that's what this comes down to. I think this comes down to, you know, because again, like AEW to me isn't actual competition for WWE. You know, WWE is clearly number one, but AEW can still exist and be a really good spot and get hot and go on different runs. But this isn't the Monday Night Wars. Like, AEW is not overtaking WWE anytime soon in the ratings and the money and anything, but there's still a lot of money to be made and they're filling that void. But also they don't like that they have to pay more to either retain their talent, get different talent into their building. Like, they don't like that. And then that's the thing I believe that bothers TKO the most. Not the fact that there's another company out there, but that there's another company that's willing to pay fair money for their performers.
But that's the weird part. Like, I agree with you. They definitely care about that. But, like, if you want to be the big bad bully on the block and say, hey, come watch our show that is free, that, you know, you don't have to pay it on pay-per-view, then put effort into these cards and maybe you get a handful of people like, well, I'm not going to pay the $50 to watch All In because I'm going to get to watch this A-plus match on free TV on Saturday night, or I'm going to launch Peacock and see this awesome main event. Instead, it's, well, we don't really know who the main event is, and we're getting 57-year-old Bill Goldberg.
if you want to be able to beat AEW, because I know that's Triple H has called them a pissant company that doesn't matter. Let me just tell you, it's a very strong alternative. It's stronger than TNA ever was under Jeff Jarrett. Can I just tell you, if you want to really take down and put AEW in the mud, have better creative. How about that? How about have a better idea than here's what we'll do? We'll turn Cody Rhodes heel on at SummerSlam. And then what? Okay, so that's my whole point. Like, you want to beat AEW and you want to put them really in a box, be better. Yeah. And they're not better, man. They've just been coasting. And by the way, because of TKO and all the money they're making, it's the cool brand. All the celebrities want to be around WWE. They've got
Jelly Roll is getting ready to wrestle.
SummerSlam.
Sure.
Big 12 deal announced this week. They're going to have SmackDowns in Big 12 cities, like, before big games.
Fine. Uh-huh. No problem. But can I just tell you, in sports parlance, the wild card could win too.
Yeah.
It may not be the first place team, but the wild card team could also
win. And this weekend could be one of those wins for Tony, assuming Hangman wins.
Over $2.5 million. This will be what's the second most in North America for them?
It's number one. It'll be number one.
Yep. For AEW.
For any non-WWE ever. It's gonna pass their Canada show from last year.
How about that wild card team? How about that, Gabe? The wild card's doing well. The alternative is doing well.
I don't know what made Tony start booking this well, but he's hot right now.
Yeah.
He's hot. All right, what do we got?
That's Brian Danielson.
News and notes. If it's Danielson, just keep him around. Pay whatever you need to keep him around.
We'll start Charlotte Flair in a Players Tribune piece. Very well written. I would definitely recommend checking it out. She revealed the Tiffany Stratton 0-3 promo quote rocked her. She said in her head, Charlotte Flair hasn't been divorced, so it definitely caught her off guard.
We talked about this when it happened. That it felt, and I think there was some reporting around it, you know, that, oh, that wasn't run past her. So this isn't good for Tiffy, the fact that it's coming up again. Like, look, man, like you just, there are certain areas you can't go. And if you're going to go there, you got to run it past your promo partner.
Yeah.
And she didn't. Like, that's, again, say what you want about Charlotte Flair. I know a lot of people don't like her. But again, she's writing this as Ashley Flair, and she was open and she was vulnerable, and I thought this was fantastic. And I saw some of the response to, then she brought up, you know, Ludwig Kaiser. Like, yeah, I mean, she was reeling, man. Like, she got knocked back on her heels. So then she decided to fire back. Okay, we're going to make this real. Then let's make this real. Again, does that necessarily excuse Charlotte? No, but like, you can't do that if you're Tiffany Stratton. And again, when I see stuff like that, it makes me want to root against Tiffy. I know she's a babyface, right? I'm not rooting for her. I'd rather see her lose this week. And she's not going to, but I don't need to see her with the championship. Like, you can't be doing that kind of crap.
Something too, Tiffany, too. When you hear Tiffany Stratton speak, that sound like a babyface? That promo that she did against her, that didn't sound like a baby face. Not at all. That whiny voice is not a baby face, but that's where she is right now. I think that there's a difference between, obviously, the characters we see on TV and real life. Charlotte Flair is not 0-3 in divorces, but Ashley Flair is. And I, you know who I blame the most is creative. I think I said at the time. So this might be a rerun for some of our viewers and listeners, but I blame creative. If this is AEW, we would have done a 30 minutes on this, right? Like, oh my God, how could Tony Khan allow this to happen? This is real glass, right? It's real glass, bro. That kind of thing. Like we saw with CM Punk. And so, I think that it shows you that the old way, guys, was like, here's the script. Read exactly what's on the script, because left to your own devices, you get Tiffany Stratton, who's supposed to be a babyface, even in that time, say that you're 0-3 in divorces. So I think that we have to understand it's never personal against the wrestler. The wrestler's persona is what it is. But when it comes to real life, unless the performer says it's cool, it's not cool.
Yep. Elsewhere, news and notes, top 10 sellers for the month of June on WWE Shop has been unveiled, and still top 5, number 2 to be exact, Karrion Kross, the number 2 top-selling shirt in all of WWE behind Jey Uso at number one. The rest of the top 10, R-Truth at number three, Cena at four, Stephanie McCair, Roman Reigns, Penta, Fatu, and 9 and 10, both John Cena for specific cities, Grand Rapids and Los Angeles.
Wait, Grand Rapids?
Number nine.
Grand Rapids?
Uh-huh. They love their John Cena.
Good for them.
People in Detroit said, well, that's close enough. Let me get it.
How do you feel about Karrion Kross being number two, Brian, since he's involved with your guy, Sammy, and obviously he ain't going anywhere?
Nope. Hey, he is one. I told you he won me over after he joined us here on the show, and I don't know who's the heel and the face there, and the crowd's super behind him, and yet Hunter still – now all of a sudden, now that everyone's into him, Hunter seems more reluctant to, like, shove him down our throats. It makes no sense. Like, when no one wanted any part of him in that group, it's like, hey, more Karrion Kross. And now the fans are like, yeah, more. Like, no, not more. Slow down. Makes zero sense.
Boy, this has got to be tough for you, Brian Rhodes. This has to be tough for you, man. As much as you've loved Sami Zayn on this show for the history of the show, and now he's put to the side and Karrion Kross is your new
this
love.
This is the build, though, for Sami. Boy, this has got to be Sami tough. To win the title in Vegas next year. This is a slow build towards that.
Boy, what a build. He's taking a beating. To get there, boy. I tell you that. That's the case. If he's going to win the championship. Karrion Kross, you talk about a slow build. I mean, we couldn't find him on the main event or whatever show that was. And now at least he's getting some TV time.
He's still cutting non-TV promos, though. I've seen some of those on social media.
Pretty good. Well, he has to because he's not getting anywhere else. He's got to do it on his own phone. He's got to do it.
By the way, Sammy, if he ever wins one, if they don't do it in Montreal, I don't know what the hell they're doing.
That's a good point. So there's that.
That's fair.
Other weird WWE decisions. WWE Unreal, the behind-the-scenes look at the booking room debuts on Netflix July 29th. Well, Jake the Snake Roberts on his Snake Pit podcast says, quote, the series is foolish. Said no amount of money made from the show will warrant the damage that it will do.
You can hear the oxygen tank in the background while he was talking on his podcast, I'm sure. This is stupid. I can imagine that was the case for a Jake Roberts.
I mean, I don't know what he's talking about. I can't wait to watch the episode that surrounds Evolution. You know, I want to know how that built. I want to know how the creative meetings for that show went.
I will not be watching that.
A couple more weeks away.
I just the juxtaposition of Triple H telling a reporter after one of these shows, just like, sit back and enjoy the ride, enjoy the show. And so ultimately, you don't want us to be in, but yet you have a show that you're letting us.
Well, but like,
in
how
on.
Much are they actually going to let you? Because again, like, this is also going to be somewhat scripted.
What?
Oh, yes, I get it. But you know what? The Mizarks will believe it's real. I'll tell you that. Some of us that are fans are going to believe it's real. I will not be watching that show. I never watched LFG. We've never talked about LFG on this show.
I don't have access to any, but yeah, I haven't watched it.
Just don't have time.
The only time we did was with now no longer a part of the cast, Mickie James, when Mickie James came on.
Yeah, remember we had her on to promote it, and then she got replaced the next week.
That's right. My God. That's right. She came on to promote something that she was kicked off of because of Undertaker's
wife. Check out our interview with Mickie James. <months ago>.
YouTube.com. She was great. She did a great job promoting it.
Finally, in news and notes released earlier today by AEW and the Players Tribune once again on YouTube, the 2 from 1, the Briscoe story documentary. The Briscoe family gave unprecedented access to their lives and experiences in the aftermath of Jay's death. That is available now on YouTube.
Haven't had a chance to watch it. I cannot wait to see it. Again, I think those two are very beloved within the pro wrestling community, and obviously that only became stronger with Jay's sudden passing.
You know, it's great to see him in the ring with the MJF. They both had a great promo battle on Wednesday. You know, I want to give Briscoe all the flowers, and I'm not saying that he deserves a title or whatever, but he just deserves time and love. Because he does a great job with those promos. He gets some hype. He gives you a great match. I don't want to see him beat all the time, but I just think he gives max effort.
Everyone seems to love him. And I don't think it'd be that crazy. If you let him win this weekend, Think of the reaction to that. Because, yes, all he does is lose on television. If he wins the Casino Gauntlet.
I would agree with that. I have one other news and note for you. And that is the passing of former wrestler Cowboy Bob Ellis. He passed away. But no one knew that he passed away December 21st, 2018. It's been officially reported today.
What? That was a long time ago.
People
six
thought
and a half years ago.
For a long time. Yeah. So many people thought a man who was born March 15th, 1929 was the oldest living wrestler alive. The oldest living wrestler until
that he was. Good selling, I guess, for the last almost 7 years.
Yeah. I think the body was just found someplace for 6 years, just rotting. But no, Ellis has been dead since 2018, but was known as the oldest wrestler living, but clearly not anymore. We have to subtract some of those numbers.
Still working, even though he's dead. It's fantastic.
Wow.
He actually died nearly a decade ago. Cowboy Bob Ellis.
How about that for breaking news?
What?
By the way, you know what he did? You know what he did, Gabe? I'm watching Brian. He's trying to rap us. He had the final. I saw that. You had the YouTube up there with before the match of the week.
Oh, that was to promote Mickey James. That's what that was.
Stop it. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
What did you guys have for your matches of the week?
I think it's the best El Grande Americano match we've seen in a while, at least for a couple weeks against Dragon Lee.
Dragon Lee, about flavors of the month. Don't really see him as much on TV anymore, do we?
How about Dragon Lee? You lose to someone that's not even El Grande Americano. You got to snatch your mask off in the back and go, what the F? What am I doing here? I'm losing against this.
I love Corey Graves, like, countering everything that Cole says. Like, Americano's got a tattoo on the back of his neck. Oh, those things can get removed, Cole. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll give you one from Collision. You know about your tag team wrestling hood, and they should be on the card this weekend. FTR and the Outrunners.
Mm-hmm.
All FTR does is produce bangers.
If you've not seen that, folks, you have to watch that. That was the match of the night, and it was old school. You could take the color out of your HDTV and take it to 85. It would have been the same concept. Very simple concept, right? Put heat on the baby face, make him bleed, and then the hot tag. You actually saw an actual hot tag because the crowd went banana when the guy that looks like not Jimmy Garvin, but the guy that looks like Jesse Ventura, that guy, when he got tagged in, right? Truth Magnum or whatever his name is. It was an amazing matchup. I love that match. The wrong team won, but I understand the premise of the match. It was fantastic.
And I thought FDR last night when they were talking backstage, we're going to get added to the tag title match this weekend. Those guys deserve a spot on this show.
I would agree.
Last night, I would throw the tag match from last night with Takeshita and Fletcher against Bandido and Brody King. Okay. Oh, novel concept. Four really good pro wrestlers in a ring together, producing really good pro wrestling. I know. Shocker.
That Fletcher DDT is still like literally just upright on his head. Like
the bubblegum tights are a choice. The pink bubblegum he was wearing. I was noticing that. I'm like, what? He's just a maniac. Yeah. He's a maniac. He yells every time. He's just like a kamikaze kick. Like he's out of his mind. Next time we have him on the eighth time, we should ask him about that yelling before everything he does. He is a maniac.
I enjoyed also the women's four-way last night. The one that Megan Bain won to get the number two spot. Some fun spot.
Yes, but there is a problem. There should be a steel cage between the Spider and Queen Aminata. They still have heat. There's a problem there. Then they had a pull apart afterwards because I think Queen took her head off again. It's like there's a problem between these two. They should put in a steel cage and fix it.
Instead, you'll probably get on zero.
Okay, that's fine. I got no problem with that. Rollins Penta.
Yeah.
Do you guys like that?
Yeah. Again, it's just, but you're every time Rollins is in the ring, you're just waiting for it now.
Right. They're all the same.
I just want to, for those that like to do a deep dive for pro wrestling. So Natty Neidhart as Natty Neidhart is unbelievable. She was in Reality of Wrestling. That's the Booker T company. You go to YouTube, just scroll to the end. That's not Natalia Neidhart. That is Natty. And she was a monster in that matchup. She's just trying to help the young kids in Houston for Booker T. And she was tremendous in this match. She helped a young wrestler in that matchup. It was really good, about 15 minutes. So check that out on YouTube, Reality of Wrestling.
So it seems like she is getting rave reviews everywhere she goes as Natty.
Yeah.
What the hell are we waiting for?
Yeah. Why'd she resign?
What?
Because her husband works
okay.
there.
Like, can we put her on TV?
Well, I hear you there. Like, but she's just Natalya, and it's just like Natalya is an enhancement talent.
Yeah, you got her in a tag team wrestling this week with what's her face, the Story tag team, Alpha Academy. Looking at her name.
Oh
yes.
Yeah,
yes,
her. Yes. You know.
Yes, underneath yeah, talent, her. Yes. No, but Natty Neidhart, Natty is a beast. She gives you the middle fingers. She gets out there and she just
I saw just coming across my timeline, like her entrance, which was like the music was fantastic. I forget the song that she came into.
Like a remix.
Yeah, it was like a remix because it had like the Hart family like guitar, like chord thing that plays at the beginning that screams at the beginning of her song, Brett's song, and I thought it was really well done. And then she just raises the middle finger. I'm like, oh yeah, this is awesome. Like, can I get this on my television?
I know people are watching and listening and like, oh, it's Natty Neidhart. Like, no, you got to watch this. It's a different person altogether, a whole different style of wrestling. She's like, it's the best shooter that we've seen. I mean, she's tremendous, and I don't know why that's not on WWE TV.
But they're paying her.
Her husband works there. TJ's there.
All right. If you missed any of the previous interviews that we've done or any past shows, check us out. Subscribe like you on YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. Brian, pace yourself. All right? That's all I'm trying to say this weekend. Pace yourself. ROH. WWE, AEW, Evolution, NXT. It's all going on this weekend. Huge wrestling weekend. We'll talk about it next week right here on GKW.
Indies.